Well, this is our Good Friday message, and the title of the message this morning is Love Nailed. We want to ask God's help as we come to his word, don't we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word of God, which tells us of the amazing love, the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help us to see that love this morning so that we might be changed by it, molded? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A university study has found that an average of 5 Australians die every year trying to save someone else from drowning. Critically, about 2/3 of those who die trying to save someone else were family or friends of the people that were drowning. And so that indicates, obviously, that many people are putting themselves out, risking their lives for someone they love. One of these was Steve Mote, 41, father of 4, stepfather of 5. He drowned in November last year trying to save a son and a niece, both of whom survived. Steve wouldn't have intended to die, but he had every reason to help those children. He loved the kids. He had great responsibility for them, having taken them to the beach and swimming with them. Further, they were crying for help to their father and to their uncle. Of course, they wouldn't have wanted Steve to die in helping them, but sadly, that is exactly what happened. In this heroic act, Steve made the headlines and has been honored in ceremonies at that beach ever since. Maybe you saw it on TV. How he proved his love for those kids in giving his life for them. Now, if we considered his act of love to be great, we would be right. But when you compare Steve's love to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is indeed small. In fact, in his death on the cross, Christ demonstrated what love is. Christ nailed what love is about. His death is the ultimate, the standard from which all other loves can be measured. It is indeed love nailed. And by the way, it was a nail that size that held him on the cross, one in each arm and one through both feet. And how we need to grasp, experience, and be grateful for the love of Christ for us. To understand and apprehend it, till it changes us. May the Lord enable us to move toward that goal today of being love-molded Christians. Christ's death on the cross is the very pivot point of the scripture. All of the Old Testament before the cross and all of the New Testament after the cross, indeed all of history, revolves around the cross and Christ's love for men. There are many verses about Christ's love on the cross, and when you take time to list them all and gather them together, it becomes obvious that there are 3 necessary factors to experience the love of Christ. We just don't want to know about it, do we? We want to know it in our souls. The first necessary factor to experience the love of Christ is pray. Pray to experience Christ's love. Of all the churches that Paul knew of, that he visited, that he started, probably he spent the most time with the church at Ephesus. Paul really cared for the church there. He prayed for the people there. And even whilst he was under house arrest, he wrote a letter back to that church in Ephesus. So we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 13, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart and my tribulations for you." He says, "Don't get me discouraged because I'm in jail for the sake of the gospel." He didn't want them to be discouraged. And he had a couple of crucial prayers that he repeated probably constantly for the church at Ephesus, indeed other churches and Christians worldwide that had come to Christ through his and others' ministry. So we read in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees," obviously pray. "For this reason I pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. And he starts to list the prayer points. This morning, we're just going to focus in on the most crucial of those things that Paul prayed for. And we pick that up in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To fully experience the love of Christ in our lives is to experience fully all that God has to offer us. The Greek word to know there means to feel, to perceive, and includes the idea of spiritual insight. It's not just knowing about, it's knowing in our lives. Verse 18 again says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to be able to comprehend this. And that, similarly, that word comprehend means to seize, to grasp, to possess. We want this love to be real in our lives. We want to know God's love and experience, but how? Well, first we must pray for it, that we, according to verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, listen, which passes knowledge, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We pray that we might grasp that it is impossible for mere humanity to grasp. This understanding is spiritually granted and needs to be prayed for, to grasp his love in its vastness, in all dimensions. The vastness of his love, its width, its length, its depth, and to understand its perfections in its height. I've caught glimpses of that. You have too. And maybe like me, you've teared up as you've been reading a devotion or reading some scripture at different times or listening to a message. And sometimes that's continued for a more of extended period. But I want to be immersed in that love, don't you? Will you pray that your comprehension, your grasping of love of the love of Christ would be greater than what it is? If I give you a quiet moment, I'm about to do, would you do that right now where you are? Let's just bow halfway through this message, just bow our heads and ask God that he might grant us a greater depth of understanding of his love. Amen. Well, the Father has heard our prayers. The second necessary factor to experience the love of Christ is simply to observe the cross. We have to observe the cross to experience Christ's love. There are so many verses that tell of Christ, that Christ's love on the cross is the portrait of God's love for us. It's the snapshot of Christ's love for us. Let me briefly list and comment on some of them. First of all, love was defined at the cross. You want to know what love is? The definition is at the cross. We read in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Love was demonstrated at the cross. It was defined at the cross. It was demonstrated at the cross. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And thirdly, love was manifested at the cross. We read in 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means his love on the cross satisfied all God's wrath against sin. Yes, so love was defined, it was demonstrated, it was manifested at the cross, and they're all similar ideas. Love is so great that God's wrath was satisfied by Jesus' death on our behalf. Love great enough for any any who would come in faith and repentance, that love is enough to save that person. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is love enough for the world. Love great enough to wash away all sin. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says, "Jesus Christ, him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." In fact, there is no greater love than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 15 and verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And indeed, Jesus did lay down his life for us. Love defined, manifested and demonstrated to us, no greater love has ever been. Can we grasp it? It was a costly love. It was freely given sacrifice. It cost Jesus Christ everything, but salvation is free to us. So all those verses, they tell us that love is there at the cross. All those verses force us to look at the cross in a bit more detail, that we might, feel God's love for us. So that's what we're going to do now. And the scriptures are there from all the four gospels. Just follow along on your sheets. Let's read. Let's consider. Let's observe the cross. Now it was the third hour. They start counting at 6 a.m. So the third hour is 9 a.m. It's just past 9. It's 9:30. Now it was the third hour and they crucified him. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was outside the city, but it was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation. And indeed we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come to me, when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise," which proves that it's repentance and faith that saves. There's nothing we can do. That criminal did nothing to serve God, and yet he was going to be in paradise that day. So this hope. It's hope for that relative of yours. And while they have life, we have hope for them. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Hold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, when the sixth hour had come, so 6 plus 6 is midday. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Do you realize how hard it was to speak from the cross? To get a breath, you had to push up on the nails that were in your feet to release the tension that was on your chest so you could breathe. Pushed up, take a breath. And then as you sank back down, you went, when he said Eli, it was Eli. It sounded to the Jews like Elijah. They thought he was calling for Elijah. All these words spoken from the cross were spoken with great difficulty. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. The rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, it is finished, and yielded up his spirit. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was a righteous man, the Son of God. And the whole crowd came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. Now, we need to compare the love of Christ to any deliverer, any rescuer, like Steve Mote being typical of that. In doing so, we're trying to grasp how much greater Christ's love is than any other love that we've known or seen. First, do you realize that Christ never had to die? Steve Mote, in rescuing his relatives, died then. But if he hadn't have died then, he would have died 10, 20, 30 years later. But Christ was the life of men. He had immortal life. He never had to die. He only died because he gave his life in love for us. Second, his death could not be demanded of him. There was no obligation from God toward his creatures. There was no obligation that he should ever save them. It had to be from his love. Steve had to rescue the kid or kids or be branded callous or coward or lacking courage. But for Jesus, there was no more relation between him and us than between a potter and the clay. The potter has absolute right to discard the vessel and make a new one. Jesus chose to have a love relationship with us despite what we were, to love us and die for us. Christ didn't have to die. There was no obligation to die. Third, no one bothered to ask him to sacrifice his life. This is stunning to me. Even when he came as prophesied, it caused no one to understand, even though John the Baptist pointed him and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the penny didn't drop for anyone. All his disciples, all those that were closest to him were expecting him to deliver them from the Romans. He didn't. He came for something else. But we didn't ask him to sacrifice his life for us. We men, if we'd been there, we wouldn't have either. The carelessness of us could have silenced his love for us, but it didn't. The children cried out to Steve Mote. No one cried out to Christ for the real salvation that was needed. Fourth, Christ well knew that no one would love him in return. except he himself grant that love. Steve has been thanked and honored spontaneously, but Christ's great love is ignored. Just think. Listen to the cars going down the road. Think of the community around about us. Who is thinking of Christ's love for them? Christ's love is ignored until such time as Christ himself draws a man or a woman. Yet despite that, he loved us and died for us. He knew that no one would love him spontaneously, but he still died for us. We of ourselves reject him. And he still came and set his love upon us. Fifth, Christ died loving us men, even though we murdered him. Steve Mote died because of the circumstances, the rough waves, the strong current. But when Christ died, he died for those who were executing him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Six, when Christ died in love for us, he took on a most intimate association with sin. In fact, the scripture says he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It wasn't like diving in the surf like Steve Mote. It was more like, I say this vividly, it's like diving into a cesspool, into the cesspool of our sin, the pollution of our sin. His love took an awful mass of shame and dishonor, shameful mocking, shameful death. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." So let me ask you this morning, have you perceived that love? Maybe we've moved a little bit further this morning, but it's part of the journey of our lives to understand Christ's love for us more and more. Do you perceive his love? If we have perceived his love for us, our hearts ought to leap. We ought to say, "Oh Lord Jesus, I love you in return. You laid down your life for me. I want to lay down my life for you." Are you, dear friend, convinced that Christ has loved you, loves you yet, and will always love you? Didn't he demonstrate that at the cross? And if that is so, what is your response this morning? The third necessary factor to experience the love of Christ is simply to remember the cross, not merely to observe the cross, but to remember the cross to experience Christ's love. It's one thing to see his love now as we consider the scriptures and we're going through the scriptures together, but it's another thing on Monday morning when we get that bad news to remember, yes, Christ still loves me. Since he has proven his love for us, remember it and doubt it never. Romans 8 and verse 32, "He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" The point of that verse is God has loved us in the hardest way possible. Therefore, in all these lesser things, won't he continue to love us? And the answer is, of course. Therefore, verse 35 continues, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once you're his, you're his. You're held by two omnipotent hands, the hand of the Father and the hand of the Son. He always will love you. He's proven that at the cross. Let's pray. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that is in Christ Jesus. And as we sit here, I pray, Lord, that each of us can see something more of that love today. be a bit more devoted to the Lord, love him in return a little more, and Lord, keep building us and drawing us and enabling us to see, give us insight into all that you've done for us, that we may always live for you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you for dying for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.